Good morning and welcome back to Galesburg Live. This is the second hour. I'm Chris Poston. Our next topic is about something that can happen really just about anywhere, in places like homes, neighborhoods, schools, youth sports environments, but it also occurs online, by phone, the internet. It can happen to anyone, even friends and family around you, even your own family member. But it's not just a problem of one's socioeconomic status, culture, race, religion, or gender. This impacts every community and every person around the globe. We're talking about child victims of abuse. We're going to talk about some of the signs to look for sexual abuse and physical abuse and steps you can take to protect a child that you suspect is being abused. Please welcome the Executive Director of the Knox County Child Advocacy Center and Paladin Children's Center, Brooke Chesney. Brooke, thank you so much for being with us today on Galesburg Live.
Thank you for having me.
Maybe you could explain the two separate names for your organization.
Yes, it's actually one and the same, but we added the second name to be inclusive when we added Warren and Henderson counties. We wanted to make sure that the people in those counties didn't feel like we were only serving Knox County. We certainly want to make sure everyone feels as included as possible because of our services.
That's right. And staff, how big is your staff that you have?
We actually have three staff members currently.
Okay.
So I'm the executive director. We have Amanda Giles, who is our case manager advocate. And we also have Teresa Kuhlman, who is the MDT coordinator, and she also helps out with forensic interviews.
Now, you have a large area to cover, three counties.
Yes.
How many children are we talking? Can we talk about some of the statistics here in
Sure.
this area? I think people are shocked. I'm shocked to hear the statistics.
Last year, our last fiscal year, we served 131 children. So there was concern that 131 children were either sexually or seriously physically abused. 101 of those children were from Knox County.
My gosh, that's almost one every other day here in this area. That's shocking.
Yes.
That's shocking.
Yes.
Looking at some of the information, the chances of, with that many children, the chances of any of us knowing a child that has gone through this is pretty high.
Very high.
Right.
Yes.
How does that compare to the national statistics?
Well,
our county or our area.
Right. The national statistics are they're looking at 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys being sexually abused before the age of 18. Another alarming statistic.
So what is the typical, I don't know if it's typical, if I can use that word, what is the age that you most see here in this in our area of a child that's been through this?
Well, we serve children from age 3 to 18. If the person has been either has any sort of developmental delays or disabilities, if the person is older, they may still come see us just because we have that calm environment for them, which might be better to help them feel more comfortable to disclose. But certainly, I would say the national median age is about 9.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a lot of young children lately, but we've also seen many teenagers. So it's really hard to say. We see, you know, quite a bit of all different age groups.
Right. So just what is it that you do? What is the role? What is your role in this whole process?
What we do is to respond when law enforcement or a social worker through the Department of Children and Family Services, when they are concerned that a child has been abused, they ask for us to talk to that child. A child talking to a police officer with a gun strapped to their belt and a badge, you know, right in plain sight can be scary. And I think all of our team members are aware that, you know, whether it's a social worker or whether it's law enforcement, we've all learned from, you know, all the different work we've done that children respond better to a non-authority figure. So what we've done, we've gone to training, we've learned how to interview children in a way that's not suggestive, that just simply finds out what the facts are, but gives them the opportunity to be heard, for them to tell what has happened to them in a way that's in an environment that's supportive, in that it makes sure that they understand that they're safe. But certainly we ask only non-suggestive questions because we are just fact finders. We don't make any decisions about anything. We simply find out the information for law enforcement to then use or social workers to then use in their investigation.
Right. So you are working very closely, though, with law enforcement and the courts.
Absolutely. They're present, if at all possible, at the interview. We have to have at least one of our team members present for those interviews in case there are any additional questions. They can always make sure that we follow up with those questions.
Right. And it doesn't, I can only imagine that this doesn't happen just in a short interview. Sometimes you have to meet several times with this child, or?
Actually, no. The goal is to only have one time that the child comes and is able to tell us what's happened. So we're trying to minimize the trauma by having one and done type of experience. At some point, if more information comes out and it's imperative that maybe there's a different perpetrator, then it may be necessary to do a second interview. But the hope is to do one and just have the child be done and then focus on healing through counseling.
Brooke Chesney, Executive Director of the Knox County Child Advocacy Center and Paladin Children's Center, is our guest this morning on Galesburg Live. Up next, recognizing the signs of abuse, the first step to protect children from further harm, when Galesburg Live returns on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Good morning and welcome back to Galesburg Live. Our guest this hour is Brooke Chesney, Executive Director of the Knox County Child Advocacy Center and Paladin Children's Center, serving children and families affected by abuse in Knox, Warren, and Henderson counties. Brooke, thank you again for being with us this morning on Galesburg Live to talk about this, something that maybe people don't want to know, because once you know, you can't unknow, right? Does that make sense?
Well, it does. And the important thing is to not unknow it, to actually use this information to really start watching your own children, to watch the children around you, and to work together. I mean, look at the campaign for drunk driving. You remember all those PSAs that came out and you saw it on TV, and it was, yeah. You know, the more awareness is raised, the more amazing the community's response is to try to help deal with this matters.
Why do you think people don't want to talk about it as much?
Well, the alarming statistic is that 93% of the perpetrators are people that we know. Mm. They're our friends. They're our family members. They're our pastors. I mean, they're anyone. It could be anyone. And that's really scary to think about. But it doesn't have to be the kind of fear that paralyzes a person or makes them afraid to go outside their home. It just means that it's really important to be aware of your surroundings and to watch for the signs in a child that something has happened.
That's right. It's our job as adults to protect our children from this. And there are certain signs that we can look for. We want to talk about some of those.
Sure.
Signs of abuse.
Absolutely. There are some common signs for whether it's a physical type of abuse or an emotional type of abuse or a sexual type of abuse. But the common signs could be one of many different types. So you could have the child who is normally very calm and very happy and very content, who suddenly is having all sorts of rebellious behaviors and acting out and acting differently and changing their appearance. And there's sometimes self-harming behaviors, things like that. You may also have the child who's very withdrawn, used to be bubbly, used to be happy, and now is acting more depressed or acting like they don't want to do the things they usually do in life. So when you see something like that in a child, it's usually a sign that something is going on. It's just trying to get to the bottom of it and find out what it is.
That's right. Any other signs that we should be looking for? I mean, to be proactive, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, in physical abuse type cases, you're going to look for things like injuries that can't be explained, bruises, cuts, broken bones, things like that that can't
sure.
be explained or aren't, I guess, always explained the same way. So they may have inconsistencies. There may be untreated medical issues that you notice in a child where a parent just isn't getting the necessary treatment for that child, or the child isn't reporting that to their parent. They're hiding it, and the medical treatment just isn't being issued to the child. So that's
right.
one thing to look for with physical abuse. With sexual abuse, most of the time you're not going to see any physical marks. There may not be any signs that anything has happened physically on the child. Children heal very, very quickly. If something had happened very recently, you may have some signs. There may be signs of bleeding or tenderness or soreness or pain, trouble sitting, things like that. but not always. Sometimes children heal just so quickly, and by the time they disclose, it could be months later. It could be years later. Children don't always tell right away because they either don't know to, they're afraid to. It may be an authority figure. It may be something that they don't want to disrupt the whole family dynamic. There could be a number of reasons why they don't disclose, but that means that you may not see it. So you have to look for other signs like inappropriate sexual behaviors or knowledge of sexual behaviors that isn't age appropriate. So
that a kid shouldn't.
Yeah. Or things like taking pictures of other people at inappropriate times or looking for things online in an inappropriate way. Or again, the basic ones like the cutting behaviors or suicidal type behaviors or severe depression, things like that.
I know we're talking about things to look at with children. What about behaviors from the adult, the perpetrators?
Oh, sure.
You said that you had mentioned that many of these are people that we know. The perpetrators are those family members, friends, people in authority.
Right. And it is difficult to look at someone and know, is this person hurting anyone? It's very difficult to tell. They're very good at manipulating. They're very good at smoke and mirrors. They're very good at putting the blame somewhere else or denying that anything happened. So the important thing to do is to really watch the cues from the children.
Yeah.
How do the children act around those people? But you also want to look for age-appropriate behaviors. So are they getting a lot of gifts from this person? Are they getting special attention from this person? Are they treating them differently in some way that's maybe negative? You kind of look at how the children act around that person. And sometimes you can see things there. But sometimes with manipulative people, you may never see that behavior.
Right.
It may not ever, appear in any way that's tangible. But sometimes it's a feeling, a gut feeling, just the way a person is looking at that child or acting around that child.
Sure.
But that gut feeling may not always be right either. You don't want to go around accusing people of things not without actually having any sort of disclosure or any sort of, walking in on something. I mean, it is very difficult, but that's why it's best left to law enforcement to do their investigation rather than handling anything on your own as an adult in that situation.
Brooke Chesney, Executive Director of the Knox County Child Advocacy Center and Paladin Children's Center, is our guest today on Galesburg Live. When we return, the shocking long-term, often lifelong, effects for child victims of sexual and physical abuse, and how these organizations are providing hope for these kids. All coming up when Galesburg Live returns on 93.7 FM, 1400 AM, WGIL. Good morning and welcome back to Galesburg Live. I'm Chris Poston. The subject of this hour is something that impacts every community and every person across the globe. It can happen to anyone, even friends and family around you, even a child you know and love, even your own child. We're talking about child victims of sexual and physical abuse. And we're learning about one of our local organizations that have a unique role in providing services to child victims of abuse and prevention education in our schools and helping local kids have the courage it takes to talk about sexual abuse. She's the executive director of the Knox County Child Advocacy Center and Paladin Children's Center, serving children and families in Knox, Warren, and Henderson County. Brooke Chesney, thank you for what you do.
Absolutely.
We're
so
talking
important.
Yeah, oh my gosh. You were talking about the signs of abuse. We've noticed some signs. We've noticed some things in this child.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do? Help it. Walk us through that.
Okay. Well, if there's actually a disclosure from the child, if a child comes to you and says, this has happened to me, the first thing to do is to comfort the child, to support the child through this process, because it wasn't easy for that child to make that disclosure. Children don't want to talk about this either. So it's important to at least follow through, depending on the situation. I mean, certainly law enforcement is a good option to call them to report that a child has made a disclosure and that you would like the police to look into that. They have investigators all throughout the counties that do look into allegations of child abuse. So calling the police is always a good first place to start. Depending on who the person is, if it is a household member, a parent, a caretaker of any type, it might be appropriate to make a DCFS hotline call that child abuse has occurred. Law enforcement will make that call if they deem that that's an appropriate referral, or if you want to start there, that's fine too. So those are the first two places to call, because they're important to handle the case. They know how to start. They know to make sure that there isn't too much conversation with the child about what's happened until they are then referred to the CAC.
Sure.
And then they can come and talk to me. We'll do an interview that's very child friendly, child based, to make sure that they're feeling safe about it, that they can make that disclosure if that's what they want to do that day.
Brooke Chesney is from the Knox County Child Advocacy Center and Paladin Children's Center. If we notice the signs of abuse, we have to talk to these, and they may not even tell us what are things that we can do to help them.
Creating that safe environment for them, telling them that you can, telling your child, you can tell me anything. There is no judgment here. I'm going to believe you. You're my child. I love you. And that love is unconditional. Whatever you have to say, I'm here to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Not panicking if your child does make that disclosure is always important. Not a good idea to become a vigilante and go after who you think the perpetrator is.
But my gosh.
That child cannot handle that kind of pressure.
Right.
To make sure that child feels safe, it's important to keep calm, to follow through the right channels, to talk to the right people. Certainly if a child does come to the CAC, we will then help work with the families. We also provide counseling, not just to the children, but also to families, to try to help them learn how to deal with the new behaviors there may be, or the new way of living that there is now. And certainly prevention education and making sure they know what to look for in the future.
Right. What if this is someone, immediate family, so close to them that they don't want to lose that? It's so strange to think this, but they don't want to lose that relationship. That's their mom, dad, grandma, brother, grandpa.
It happens. It happens a lot. It's incredibly difficult, but for that parent to believe that child and exclude that person from the household for a while, live separately for a while, show that child that they are important, that they believe them, that they're supportive of them, and that, whatever happens, they'll be in their corner. A child needs that to get through this.
Right. Brooke Chesney is the executive director of the Knox County Child Advocacy Center here on Galesburg Live, talking about what we can do to help children affected by sexual and physical abuse right here in our area. You talked last half hour, 131 cases in Knox, Warren, and Henderson counties. Almost one every other day. The chances of us knowing a child that has been affected in this way is pretty huge. And this, the statistics are astounding, but one of the things that we were going to talk about is the ACE study. And I'll let you take that, but how this, what happens to a child can have long-term effects throughout their life.
Absolutely. The ACEs study is one that examines the link between childhood traumas, so adverse childhood events is what it looks at, and it compares those to adult health problems. So the ACEs study has actually made a link between the number of adverse childhood experiences a child has in their life on what health conditions they have as adults when those adverse experiences are not reduced in some way.
Was that what they were going for, or was this something that just kind of came out of that study?
I'm not exactly sure how it first began, but it certainly is an interesting link there to show that a child who's been abused at a very young age, when there's no reduction in that trauma whatsoever, can actually end up with heart disease or diabetes or cancer. They're more likely to end up with a serious health condition if that trauma is not reduced in some way.
Yeah, I was looking at this. It almost seemed like it was they were trying to go for one thing, and then they ended up finding that people who are depressed and this, they end up obese and, all these kind of things are affected by childhood trauma that they had years before. And what you do is to not only help the child talk about what's happened in a safe environment. You also help them through counseling and right. Can you talk about and how counseling can help stem maybe some of these long-term effects of this abuse that they've gone through?
Absolutely. The great news about the ACEs study, as kind of scary as it can be, is that that trauma can be reduced. It's not a death sentence to a child to think I'm going to have a horrible health condition just because something bad has happened to me. There's ways to reduce that trauma and to bring that child hope in a number of ways. The first way is immediately to try to provide some relief and coping mechanisms, because these children are suffering from various health disorders, mental health disorders mainly at the beginning. Some of them manifest into physical health disorders, but certainly anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress type symptoms, if not actual post-traumatic stress disorder. So they're struggling. And the first thing that counseling can do is to try to help them cope with those problems that they're having. So if they're having trouble sleeping, if they're having trouble concentrating at school, that's one of the things that our counselor watches for. And within several sessions, depending on the child, some sooner than others, those symptoms are reduced just simply by talking about ways to cope with that anxiety, ways to cope with that ongoing, seeing it over and over in their head instead of being able to focus at school. So it immediately tries to reduce those symptoms, but then long term, it helps them cope with things over time and actually reduces that ACEs score, so that perhaps their likelihood of having something, a difficult disease in the future is reduced.
Yeah. And does the counseling, is it from psychologists, psychiatrists, medication? Are there all that involved? Does all that get involved?
It can in some cases. What we provide is a therapist. We have a counselor, a therapist. She's not a psychiatrist. She does not prescribe medication. Okay. So she'll do an initial assessment and find out what the child is in need of, and over several sessions can determine whether or not it's would be beneficial to the child to go to a psychiatrist and look at different options for medication, things like that, to try to help reduce those symptoms. Because if the coping mechanism she's employing with them isn't working, we don't want that child to continue to suffer. I mean, if the anxiety is so great, then a medical doctor needs to get involved at that point. So there may be a little bit of both. It just depends. But the psychiatrists don't necessarily provide the talking therapy. So sometimes they work in concert with the medical doctor. But our counselor herself does not do any of the medical. Okay. But she certainly works in concert with them when it's in the best interest of the child.
Providing prevention education in our schools. How we can help the efforts of these superheroes helping child victims of abuse. And a message of hope for our community when Galesburg Live returns on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Good morning and welcome back to Galesburg Live. Our guest this hour is Brooke Chesney, Executive Director of the Knox County Child Advocacy Center and Paladin Children's Center, serving children and families affected by abuse in Knox, Warren, and Henderson counties. Brooke, thank you again for joining us today on Galesburg Live. I had a question I wanted to ask in our last segment, so I wanted to start this segment out. Is there a type of child that these perpetrators are targeting?
They're children who are easily accessible. So the children who don't have much parental supervision, the children who are maybe loners, they're not around a lot of other people. They may frequent the same places. They may not have a whole lot of adults around them. They may look like they don't have a whole lot of support at home. They may be involved with substances to some extent, whether drugs or alcohol. They may exhibit signs of depression already. They may hang around with other people that are just like them, more of a vulnerable population, but they look for the people who don't have a strong authority figure in their life,
right?
Who don't have a strong home life, who don't have a stable home life. They're looking for that chance to be the strong person for that child. Sometimes they don't have any bad intentions with a child like that. Sometimes they're part of a program like Big Brothers, Big Sisters, trying to fill that need in a family. if they're not, then it gives them that opportunity to be that strong person in their life and worm their way in. So that's right. That's the population that is really, especially the children who have already been victimized.
Perpetrators more male than female?
Our statistics are, yes. It's about 76% male.
Yeah.
Some female, some unknown.
Some unknown, sure.
Because some of the abuse cases are over the internet, so right. The perpetrator's not always known.
Over the internet, that's a whole other topic that we haven't discussed. And that's maybe part of prevention education that the Knox County Child Advocacy Center and the Paladin Children's Center addresses prevention education.
Absolutely. We go into the schools whenever we can, whenever we're invited, under a law called Aaron's Law. Aaron Marin was a child who was abused on two separate occasions as a child. There was nothing in school to let her know what to do about something like that. So she's made it her life's work to go around to all the different states and have a law passed requiring prevention education in the schools. So we try to go to schools as at least once a year, all the schools we can, to let the kids know there what to do, and certainly saying no, leaving the situation as quickly as possible, and telling a safe, trusted adult is what we try to instill in the children as much as possible. And of course, also talking about some internet safety. It's amazing how many kids have access to phones and internet and Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Periscope, all sorts of applications that they don't know who's on the other end of that chat. And it's really important to make sure they know what to do to protect themselves, especially when they decide to go meet the person in person. It's a very risky situation. So talking with not only your teens, but also your young kids about internet safety is incredibly important. We provide training, and I know that the sheriff's office, at least for Knox County, does it well.
Yeah.
It's important for them to know about what to do if someone, an adult or another child, is actually acting sexually inappropriate toward them. But certainly dealing with applications and internet safety, phone safety, human trafficking, there's all sorts of things to talk to our kids about these days that we never thought to talk to them about before. And it's so important to make sure that they're aware, right? Because awareness, as I'm sure everyone's mom told them when they were younger, knowledge is power. If you know what's out there and you know of the dangers, you have a lot better chance of avoiding it.
What are some ways that you're hoping to grow the Knox County Child Advocacy Center, Paladin Children's Center?
Well, we're looking at growing our counseling program in different ways. Right now, what we do with law enforcement is pretty set in stone. That's we have our court advocacy, we have our interviews. I mean, none of that's going to grow. That is what it is, and
yes.
We're very grateful to be working with them and making sure children have the voice that they need to have in court. The next step then is to try to help with helping children heal, getting them better in as many different ways as we can, because all children are different. No two children are going to be alike. They learn in different ways. They grieve in different ways. They heal in different ways. So my hope is that we can grow our program in different ways to address all the different ways that kids need to try to help find that hope and heal from this experience that they've had. So to do that, we're wanting to work on a summer camp to bring some of the kids back that have completed counseling. So not the new ones that are very raw and just beginning counseling, but the ones who have already gone through the counseling program, to remind them of some prevention education, to have a beginning of the summer type party for them where they get to learn more about pool parties and sleepovers and things that are going to come up at the beginning of summer to get ready for summer. But also just have time for them to be kids, where they get to do some art projects. A lot of our families are lower income, and they struggle with having enough food over the summertime. Sometimes, not every family, but some of them. So to provide a meal for them, a snack in mid-morning, and one to send home for them, and maybe even to have a summer party at the end of it, where we just get to spend time with the families and the children, see a movie on the side of a building, have a picnic or a barbecue or something. So we're looking to just kind of let families forget a little bit, to just be a family, to spend time together. Same thing with our holiday party. We usually have at the beginning of December a holiday party. We've got some great sponsors that help us with gifts for the kids. We're always looking for more help with that because that's really their time to shine. We only have about two of those a year, so it's really great to be able to provide those opportunities for kids to just be kids again. And to have that moment where they get to open a gift and their eyes just light up and they get to play a game with an adult that's a safe, trusted adult that, you know, they never had before.
Brooke Chesney is the executive director of the Knox County Child Advocacy Center and Paladin Children's Center. We really appreciate you being here today. And what can we do, a listener? How can we help? Are there areas that we can volunteer, things that we can help with?
Oh, absolutely. We have an annual fundraiser every year. We're looking at making that a little bit different this year. We're going to not only have our quarter auction, we'll have a couple quarters of quarter auctions, but then we'll also have a live auction and a silent auction. But then it's also going to be a little different this year. We're calling it the Paladin's Medieval Auction Adventure. We're going to have a quest where you look for answers and have a grand prize at the end for those who submit their questing forms. We'll also have the Peacemakers Quilt Guild has been so kind and so generous. They've actually donated several auction items. We will have a raffle quilt as well as quilted items that are going to be available, both live and silent auction items. So we'll have our fundraiser. We're always looking for sponsors for that. If you want to sponsor a table, if you want to just bring people and have a good time, there's all sorts of different ways. So certainly volunteers there. If you're looking to be more of a serious, want to be part of it, want to be on a board, we do have a Friends board that's part of our raising public awareness about the CAC as well as fundraising. So if you want to be part of the board, you can always contact me. That does require an FBI background check to be on our Friends board. So any volunteers that we would have to undergo a, you know, pretty stringent background check. But there are other ways to volunteer, though. Certainly being a sponsor for, you know, a venue for our parties for the kids, for our fundraiser. We're looking for sponsors for our lunch for the camp for the kids. It would be great if we could have someone sponsor lunch for a day so that the kids really got something that was healthy and unique. Certainly events that we have, it would be great to have a sponsor for different events that we would like to have to make the families feel special and really bring those families together again.
Sure. And I'm sure if someone feels led to want to help, they could call you in your office and maybe just kind of talk about some options where they can
absolutely
be more of a help.
Absolutely.
Another way would be to support the United Way of Knox County, correct?
Oh, absolutely. United Way is very helpful to us and both Knox and Warren counties.
Yes.
Absolutely. And yeah. Galesburg Community Foundation.
Yes.
We get our grants from DCFS as well as the Victims of Crime Act. We have several people helping with that. So,
sure.
But absolutely, United Way has been a great sponsor.
And now before we wrap things up today, I'm sure there's a lot of people that you'd like to thank.
Oh, absolutely. Starting with my staff, our staff has been it feels like we're starting over in such a fresh and an exciting way. They've been absolutely so helpful in that. Our board, we have a governing board as well as our Friends board. They've all been very supportive. Our team members, law enforcement in Knox, Warren, and Henderson counties, as well as Pediatric Resource Center out of Peoria that now also has an office in Galesburg, so our families don't have to travel as far. We have Monarch Trauma Counseling. Kelly Griffith there has been so good to our families, and she continues to do amazing things for our kids every day, as well as our donors, our grant sponsors. We are so thankful and so fortunate to have such great people working with us.
Absolutely. We've talked about a lot of dark things today, and it is, and we need to know. And once you know, you can't unknow. So I really appreciate you being here today. But it's not only talking about all the dark things, but there's also hope, and that's what you guys give to these children who've been affected by sexual and physical abuse.
Absolutely. These children aren't drawing strange things as their art projects. They're drawing hearts. They're drawing flowers.
Yeah.
They're working toward moving forward even the day of their interview. They have a weight just lifted off them by being able to talk about it, and we want to continue to work with families to help provide that hope and healing every day.
Mm. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for being with us today on Galesburg Live. If they would like to contact you, how can they do that?
Absolutely. Our phone number is 309-344-8416. And our address is 139 South Cherry, right by the courthouse over there.
Your website has a lot of information on it, too.
Absolutely. www.paladincac.org.
Many thanks to Brooke Chesney and her staff, the Knox County Child Advocacy Center and Paladin Children's Center. And thank you for listening to Galesburg Live. Join us next Saturday and every Saturday morning for more interesting conversations with local organizations, businesses, and more. I'm Chris Poston. Have a great rest of your weekend. News is next on 93.7 FM, 1400 AM, WGIL.